I just want you to know that this is kind of a unique Sunday because the Southside Church of Christ is incorporated with the Commonwealth of Kentucky. We're required to host a public business meeting annually with all of the members, the membership, the stakeholders, the first quarter of the year. And that doesn't sound very exciting, I don't think, nor does it seem to be the best use of our limited time together. We get 52 times a year to spend together in this room, so we're going to meet our state requirement and hopefully provide an encouraging and challenging message for you at the same time. So here's our roadmap for the morning. We have a couple of videos highlighting three of our ministries here at Southside to show you. I want to give you a quick look at the Southside's 2019 budget and offer up a brief snapshot of what our financial condition is, and then present a couple of new opportunities to assist you in your financial planning and giving. And finally, I want to throw out a challenge from God's Word. So let's start here. Back in January, Tony Neely led a class. It was in the back room on Encounters with Jesus. And he led a class the morning that I was there on Jesus' miracle of the wedding in John 2. And some of that conversation rattled around in my head for a while. In that class, I remember people talking about the comment that Mary made to Jesus, they have no more wine. You see, the family hosting the reception had run out of wine way before the party ran out of energy. And that was a big problem. So Mary knew about this predicament, and she approached Jesus. And we talked about Jesus' response to her, which was what? He said, "My time has not yet come." And then Mary gave a final message to the servants. She kind of ignored, it seemed like, what Jesus said. And she said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." One thing which didn't come up in that class is this: the sheer extravagance and the incredible generosity of how Jesus creatively honored his mother and those wedding guests. So let's turn to John chapter 2, verse 6, and just kind of see how John lays this out and what happens next. John 2, chapter 6. "Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, 'Fill the jars with water.' So they filled them to the brim. And he told them, 'Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet.' And they did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. And then he called the bridegroom aside and said, 'Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now.' This, the first of his miraculous signs, Jesus performed at Cana in Galilee. He thus revealed his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him." I don't want you to miss the details. John includes a few finer points in this text for a reason. How many water jars were there? There were six, okay? And how much does each one hold? Up to 30 gallons, all right? Good. So here's the tricky part. How many gallons is that total? I got to know my times tables. So as Mary used to teach math, she would have kids say, "I got to times it." Well, no, you multiply it. So it's 180. It's 180 gallons of wine up to that much, which translates, if you wanted to put those gallons of wine into bottles, 1.5 liters of wine in a bottle, you have 455 bottles of wine. Now, that seems extravagant to me. I don't know. I mean, how many guests do you think were at this reception anyway? I mean, evidently, the quantity Jesus produced is something we need to know. John felt like we need to know that. So we're told the number of jars, we're told the capacity of the jars, we're told that the servants filled those jars to the brim, and we're told this wine Jesus miraculously made was the best wine of the entire party, of the entire day. And the final sentence in John's journal is this: "Jesus thus revealed his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him." And my question is, how did he do that in this instance? How did he reveal his glory at this wedding reception? You know, turning water into wine is pretty cool. I mean, that didn't happen every day. The master of the banquet was surprised at the quality of the wine. I don't guess that happened every day. It wasn't grape juice. It wasn't a few glasses to top off the night. It was 455 bottles that the people brought in of the good stuff. revealing his glory, may have been wrapped up in the extravagant generosity Jesus displayed. Maybe. Back in January, when I mentioned to you that we were going to the Gulf Coast Getaway at Panama City Beach, where I get to be the what? POC, which is awesome. That's my one highlight week of the year. And it's right on the, we stayed on the second floor of the building that was right on the Gulf of Mexico. So we were like 45 yards from the water, our patio was. And most of you can picture this in your mind because you've witnessed the same scene on maybe a vacation or you have a condo down there somewhere. And I looked out our window and I could stand on the deck and just see water, you know, forever. And it just seems to keep going. And you rise up in the morning and you watch the sun sneak up the horizon. And the beauty, it just keeps going. And toward the end of the day, the colors fill the sky at the sunset with shades of yellow and orange and red and blue. And it just keeps going. Mary and I both love the water. It's kind of how we dated, and it had a lot to do with our relationship developing. And it's where we're most relaxed, is on the water. A few weeks ago, we took a trip to San Diego, and there's lots of water around San Diego. And on Wednesday of our little trip, we went to La Jolla Beach, and we rented a kayak and paddled out into the Pacific Ocean. And this trip was advertised as a guided whale-watching kayak tour. So we paddled out beyond the surf and into the ocean. I'd say we were about a half a mile out into the ocean away from the bank. And we just sat there. And our guide assured us that we were floating right above what he called a whale highway, the path that they travel during migration. But in my mind, I thought, this is crazy. We're sitting in a 12-foot tandem kayak in the Pacific Ocean waiting for a whale to swim by, which chances are would be a lot bigger than this kayak. I'm just guessing. And I looked this up. Do you know how many square miles of water are in the Pacific Ocean? 63 million square miles. And we're sitting in 63 million square miles of water, and we're expecting a whale to come by where we're parked, taking up maybe 30 square feet. That would have been amazing if out of those 63 million square miles of the ocean, a whale did happen to stroll by our little kayak in that place. I don't think we really expected to see a whale. But we did enjoy the water, which seems to go on forever. Isaiah writes in Isaiah 6:3, finish this for me, the whole earth is what? It's filled with his glory. The glory of God just keeps going, like the oceans God so generously created for us to enjoy. Generosity is fundamental to God's nature, and sometimes I don't get it. I don't get it. Why is God so generous to us? You know, I don't understand. In 2 Corinthians 9, I want to read a few verses here, starting at chapter 9, verse 6. And I want you to see a couple of things. Paul says this, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it's written, he scattered abroad his gifts to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. I want to make sure you don't miss a few phrases in here. Paul writes this the way he does for a reason, and I want you to look for the generosity. In verse 10, he will enlarge the harvest of your what? Of your righteousness. Verse 11, you will be made rich in every way. Not necessarily rich in money, but in all kinds of ways. In verse 11, he does this so that you can be, say it together. There you go. God doesn't give extravagantly so we can hoard stuff for ourselves. He doesn't make us rich in every way so that we can store up the extra goods and the extra goodness to make ourselves feel more secure or more important. He doesn't gloat. He doesn't give it to us so we can gloat about all the stuff that we have. If we're locked onto material blessings, we're going to miss a vast fortune of riches that God provides, the richness of joy, the richness of contentment, the richness of forgiveness and grace-giving, the richness of sharing, the richness of being surprised by the extravagance of creation and the intricate and infinite beauty of nature. Paul is pushing us away from the what's in it for me mentality and into a lifestyle of generosity. Winston Churchill said a familiar line that I'm sure you've heard before, we make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give. So I have some stories to share with you, some life-giving kind of stories made possible by your generosity, our generosity. First one is Habitat for Humanity. Because of your generosity, this year Amber Durham has a home of her own now. She has a safe place for her four children. Their names are Avery, Marvin, Braden, and Trevor. And I want you to listen to Joshua Samples. Joshua is our local outreach ministry leader, and he's going to talk about his experience with Habitat. And by the way, we give about $8,000 a year to build a home for Habitat for Humanity. Let's go ahead with that one.
In my role as the local outreach ministry leader, my idea is to not invent new things to serve God, but to find where God's working already and join groups in that. And Habitat is one of those groups that we've joined. I mean, God's working in that ministry, and so we've just been joined in with them for a while. It's an effort to help people be homeowners and be more invested in their community and put down roots. Helping on a Habitat build is a great way for people to serve our community. We've been at Southside, we've been doing it for probably around 20 years and have helped a lot of people. It doesn't require any skill to be part of a Habitat build. Like I said, there's ways to serve with food or just going and getting tools and being part of the build day. It's very easy, it's a very fulfilling job. So anybody that wants to help, that's very easy to get involved in that. But when we're on a project, or we're on a job site, every time we do it, we're working with the people whose house we're building. And so we get to know them and get to be a part of their lives. Obviously helping them build their house, but then they build it themselves. So they put a lot of pride in that too. There's homes in Lexington that I've helped build, and I can drive by those homes and I can see the change in the construction and the lives that are affected by just a simple time given. You know, being part of the transformation with families and with and being involved in the build with people and being used by God in that way, You learn. It's part of the learning process, part of the teaching process that God has for us. So we've learned a lot.
Another ministry I kind of want to highlight is FriendSpeak. You hear a lot about this. But because of your generosity, we have a comfortable space for 30 to 40 guests into our country, and we invite them into our family room behind us. Jason Ratliff is going to talk to us a little bit about his FriendSpeak experience.
More readers than we have members who are available to read. And I think that line, I think, from Barrett really is what stuck with me. And it made me think that, you know, there's something going on here. The Lord's definitely working here in this area. It was obvious that there was a true need, and that I felt the Lord nudging me to find out more about FriendSpeak and to approach Barrett and talk to him about it and get involved. I would emphasize the word friend. The friendship that you will have out of this is something that I never expected. I always looked at this as I would simply be teaching someone how to speak and read English. And, you know, it is called a friend speak, and I think that I focus more on the speak part of that. And there is a big, big portion of that, of friendship. And that's something that I did not wasn't expecting at all, but something that I've been very blessed with is to have two new friends who I get to help see Jesus and learn about Jesus. And it's really, really rewarding and humbling. And it's become something that I really look forward to each week. When we meet and we talk, our first 10 minutes is catching up on the week and how are you doing and what went great for you this week and what didn't go so great for you this week and what are some things that I can pray for you about, you know, and then we get into the helping learn how to speak and read English. So the friendship that's come from it is really, truly an amazing thing.
This last one is our children's ministry. I don't know if you've been upstairs in the new area, but it is really a beautiful space because of your generosity. Man, we have a safe and attractive space to share the good news of Jesus with our children, who will have families of their own someday, filling buildings like this someday, telling others of God's overwhelming generosity. So let's check in on a few of our rock stars in our children's ministry.
Teaches us about the Holy Lord. We can like do stuff about the Bible. I like that we have new activities and have fun. My favorite songs are Fruits of the Spirit. My favorite song is Just Love Me. My favorite Bible story is Genesis because it starts at the beginning and it tells you a lot. Everything's fine.
My favorite thing about Hymn and Worship is when I like the teachers and I like the games that we play. It just really, and it also helps me understand it better.
Yeah, same with me. Like, I feel like that going to Kids on Worship just, like, helps you understand God and how He can work through you and through other people and teach you about, like, how He will save the world and how He'll come back.
My favorite was probably Daniel and the Lion's Den, but I loved the part where he did get thrown into the Lion's Den, but then the next day the king was so worried about him and went to check on him, but God had sent an angel to comfort Daniel and make sure the lions didn't kill him, and it was so remarkable how all the world's animals and people, they follow God's commands because He's the Almighty Ruler.
I want to thank Jeremy for putting those videos together and everybody who was a part of those. And I want you to know I had zero input on the Wooten grandchildren's cameo appearance. No, they're pretty cute. This may sound a little crazy. I'm a little bit of a nerd because I really enjoy the first 2 weeks of January. They're uniquely satisfying to me. And these are the weeks where I have the opportunity to generate donation receipts and mail to you all. Every individual donation of $250 or more needs to be reported back to the donors. And then I also send reports to everyone who donated any amount to the building fund to make sure that we're not missing something. And by the way, I have some incredible news to share with you about this building project that we started 19 months ago. You may remember in that whole process, we said that we would not have very much debt on this project. We said we're not going to have more than $400,000 in debt on a $3 million building or so. And I want you to know that today we have zero debt. Nada. Nothing. Through the generosity of people in this family, we don't have any debt. So I know some of you are Dave Ramsey fans, and together we're going to give God the glory by shouting, "We're debt-free." You ready? 3, 2, 1. We're debt-free. Man, that's fun. So if you want to keep giving to that fund, feel free. We'll set it aside for future building projects. But I'm just about the only person who sees all this donation information. And I have a front row seat to witness the generosity of the Southside family every week. And I sat in our leadership meeting in January and just I tried to describe with words to the team how I feel about seeing what I see in this front row seat. And I don't have the words. I tried amazing and incredible and overwhelming and unbelievable and inspiring. And I can't seem to find the words which are adequate. What we're able to do in Lexington for a church our size is not normal. There are a lot of things that aren't normal about us in a really powerful way. To have 4 full-time ministers and 2 part-time on our staff, ministers on staff, to have no debt on a new building. We have about a year of expenses in a contingency fund. We have $800,000. In case something like 2007 or 2008 happens again, we can continue to do what we do without, you know, slamming the brakes on. We're way out of the norm. You know, it's only possible due to your generosity. In the expressions this morning, there's a, what color sheet is it? Oh, here it is. It's purple. And you have a list of our, kind of how we budgeted money for 2019. If you have any questions about any of this, you could talk to David Hobbinrich or Dale Williams or myself. We're kind of the folks that know the most about this. But that's kind of how we're allocating money to spend this year. And I want you to notice a couple of details. $42,000 is directed toward the spiritual development of young people, children, teenagers, college students. And that doesn't include additional donations like Solid Rock Cafe, which was nearly $8,000 a couple of weeks ago. That's incredible. Or the money. We park cars here for football games, and UK pays us to do that. They manage the lot. And that's about $20,000 a year that goes into our missions funds for youth ministry and college ministry to do missions. We have about 15 or 18, I think it's somewhere in there, of college students in New York this week. They only had to pay $250 to go. Last year, we had students and adults go to Croatia, and that cost was way less than the real cost of that because of what you guys do. I mean, it's incredible. About $40,000 is poured into helping people out along with a few ministries that we're invested in through local outreach and caring and sharing. Our food pantry is, we have people come there every week. John and Penny Bryant keep that filled up for us, and it's amazing how many people we're able to help in our community through that. $107,000 is invested in missions. It's going to be this year across the world. That's about what we did last year as well. And besides the administration cost in our facility, most of what we budgeted is directly supporting ministries. And just to let you know, on Monday nights, we have a group that meets in here. It's called Perspectives in the back half of our building. They bring about 50 people in there. It's a global missions workshop. We've got people in our building all the time. I think that's about the third year we've had them in. Thursday nights, we host an AA group that's been using our building for years, ever since I can remember. I don't remember them not being here. And that's one of the largest groups in Lexington, 70 to 100 people who are really struggling to get over some things in their lives, some addictions. And we've worked with them for a long time. Thursdays at lunch, there are a few Chinese women who come and pray in the cat's room over here, and they pray, and then when they get done, I can hear them in my office upstairs. They sing songs together. It's really pretty cool that they're here doing that every Thursday. We've hosted parties for groups. We had a Christian sorority from UK do an overnight retreat here this past semester. ACT Mom meets here to help kids do, you know, get that ACT test down a little bit better so they can get some scholarship money. Lifeline screening is scheduled this summer. We host a voting precinct here. I went to a meeting last semester that was a community meeting for a neighborhood zoning thing that was going on down the street. That was very entertaining, by the way. A little bit contentious. I would recommend you attending that if you want to get some free entertainment and laughter. It was fun. But, you know, many people from our community are using this building all the time, you know, throughout the year. So this place is getting used quite a bit. So I want to encourage you, and I want to challenge you in these next few moments. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7. It's a verse that a lot of us know. I mean, we've heard this verse for a long time. Each person should give what they've decided, Paul tells us, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now, Paul and I want to encourage you to continue being intentional. Or maybe you need to be challenged this morning to be intentional, to be a little more purposeful. And here's the specific challenge. I've thought about this and how to word this, and I hope this works for you. Because I only want you to accept this personally if you need to, if God is kind of elbowing you as I lay this out. But you may be a person who gives regularly to Southside, $25, $100, $200 each week, or $300 or $400 a month, maybe through online bill pay or some kind of transfer. And you give that amount whether you're here on a Sunday or maybe you give that, you know, through online bill pay or something like that. But here's the challenge. Though the funds God has provided you through raises and promotions has increased over the years, and though the amount of situations that God has put you in to further develop your character has grown you, and though you've experienced opportunities which God's given you to develop some spiritual maturity, you pretty much stayed constant in the amount that you give to your Southside family each year. And I wonder if you're missing out on an opportunity to proclaim the glory of God through your generosity. I wonder if you're missing out on an opportunity to fight off this ever-present temptation for money to be a god in our lives, for money to be a source of security. You know, Jesus talks a whole lot about money in the 3 years that he spent doing ministry on this earth. He talks about it way more often than we do around here, and his singular message is crystal clear. What does he say over and over and over again? Just give it away. Just give it away. Be an intentional giver. Be a spontaneous giver. Be a generous giver. Like Paul writes, be sure you've decided something in your heart, not just what you've always done, not just a nice round number. Decide intentionally. Take a serious look at what God has trusted you to steward, what he's trusted you to manage. And remember, it's all his anyway. So decide intentionally how much of God's money you will choose to keep and how much of his money you will choose to give back to his church. Before I finish, I want to mention two opportunities which may help you be a more intentional giver. First, we have a new giving platform. It's called Give Plus. It's at the bottom of this sheet is kind of some directions on that. Give Plus is an app that you can download and then donate to Southside through this app. It's pretty convenient to set up. I just did it in my office. I'm tech, not savvy. I'm like a dinosaur. And so I was able to do this. I'm sure you can figure it out. You can give an amount on one time. You can set up something recurring through this app. There's a fee of about 3% associated with this platform, but we want to make it easy for you to give intentionally to God and to give back to his church. So there are the instructions, you know, on that sheet. You can also, this is new too, you can also give through our website. We have a little at the top of our website, southsidelexington.com. There's a donate menu bar. You can hit that and it'll walk you through, fill in some blanks, things like that. We just want to make it as convenient as we can for you to be purposeful, for you to be intentional. The second thing is this. Beginning March 31st, we're offering a Financial Peace University class. It's going to be down in the lower level in room A4. And Financial Peace University is one of the best resources I know of to help you be a healthy money manager. Here's a brief video promo for that class.
What would happen if the people of God started handling money God's ways? You work too hard to get to the end of your life and have nothing to show for it.
This is my family's legacy that I'm talking about here. I've got to have a plan and be focused.
That knowledge that you pass down to your kids, that is how you change a family tree.
You change your life when you get sick and tired of being sick and tired. And you have that moment where you say, I've had it. I'm not going to live like this anymore.
So here's the deal. We have limited spots available for this class because we want to make it helpful to people. We don't want to have 50 people in this thing. We believe in this program enough that Adult Life will cover the cost for you to attend. We're going to try this, see if we can make this work for as many people as possible. But remember, space is limited, so you need to see Rick Shade, who's right over here. Logan is Forrest. I don't think he's here today. He's going to help lead that class. Or you can see me to reserve a spot. We do plan to offer this class with some on a regular basis. So if you miss this first one, you can't get in, we'll put you on a waiting list for the next time around. But it's a great opportunity at no cost to you, except for your commitment to attend 9 Sundays in a row, in the morning. So back to 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8. I would like for us to read this together. We have this on the slide. So let's do this one together, and then we'll be about finished. Ready? And God is able to make all grace abound to you, having all that you need, all that you need, you will abound in every good work.
As it is written, he has scattered abroad, and he has
stored his righteousness endures forever. I need to get my version and that version together, don't I? So there's a lot of abounding going on in that sentence, but here's the bottom line I want you to hear this morning. Because of your generosity, we are abounding in good works around here. And thank you for your part in providing these opportunities. And we want to continue abounding in good works. We want to see people grow in spiritual maturity and extending grace and mercy to people. We want to grow in our impact in our neighborhoods. So together, with God and with each other, we can continue to make a difference for the kingdom in this community. So together, let's live generously. Let's stand together and sing a song.
kids are still coming in. But thank you, Kevin. You know, it is such a great privilege to be a part of a generous congregation. I feel honored and privileged by all you. Let these kids get in here. We still? I don't have a joke.